series this week on prison perspectives. These are some stories of people who have been in prison from the Bible, and as Rhonda pointed out, there may be some discussions about other prisons as well, the prisons of our mind, depression, and some of those things. But this morning we're going to look at some of the teachings by the Apostle Paul from the jail in Philippi. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. These, you know, it's one thing to have someone give you advice on how to live the Christian life. That's great. But the advice doesn't really have as much weight if they're not demonstrating it. Amen? Now, Paul is in jail. He's a jailbird. He's in prison. He's incarcerated. If he was living today, he would have a felony charge or something. It would be on his record. It wouldn't be expunged. He would be an ex-con when he got out. He would be labeled. Amen? And in chapter 4, we're not going to read it all. We're going to begin reading at verse 4. This man who is in jail tells us some advice. I want you to just kind of picture yourself for a minute visiting Paul in jail. He's looking through the bars, and he's telling you how to be a good Christian from prison. And he says in verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Now, like I said, if he was sitting in a recliner and he had a butler cooking him an omelet for breakfast, or a maid sweeping and mopping his floor and had plenty of money in the bank, that's easy to say rejoice. But that's not where he's at. He's in jail in Philippi. He's there for preaching the gospel. And in this Philippian jail, as you peer at this man of God through the bars, he looks you in the eye and he says, be happy in God. Rejoice in the Lord. He doesn't tell you to just do it when things are good. He didn't just tell you to do it when you got money in the bank. He doesn't do it just when everything's going right. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And then just to drive it home, he says it again. You know, when in the Bible, when something is repeated, it's there for a reason. Jesus would say, verily, verily, I say unto you. When Abraham was about to offer his son Isaac on the altar, the voice came, Abraham, Abraham, hurt not the lad. Moses before the burning bush, Moses, Moses. When God repeats himself, he repeats himself for a reason. He doesn't have to repeat himself. It's there for a reason. And here, this man of God in jail, this jailbird teaching us how to be a Christian, says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Just be happy in God. We're told to speak to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in our heart to the Lord. Not long after Carol and I got married, she said, I'd never heard anyone singing in the morning, singing in the shower. She's not a morning person, so I've toned down my singing a little bit. I don't think she was really bragging about my singing. I think she was just kind of making a statement about it. But we are to rejoice in the Lord. We are to make melody in our hearts to the Lord. And we're supposed to do it always, all the time, in the morning, at noontime, when the sun goes down, when I'm feeling good, when I'm feeling bad. You know, and we should listen to Christian music. We should memorize songs. We should... some of the old songs, some of the new songs. So, you know, there was a great movement about the time Nola and I were really gotten saved. I know that she and I have some kindred backgrounds. Maranatha music came out of Calvary Chapel out in California. And some great old guitar strumming Jesus freak music back in the days, you know. And Jesus got a hold of my life and he won't let me go. You know, you've heard that. And so... you know, whatever it is, whatever kind of music you like, Just rejoice in the Lord. Be happy. You say, well, how do you do that when things aren't going your way? I don't know. Ask Paul. He's in jail, and he's giving us the advice. Maybe he's got a little more to say. Let's see what else Paul is saying through these prison bars this morning. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord's at hand. Now, he doesn't just say, don't be rough. Don't be prickly. Don't be hard to get along with. It's not giving us the thou shall nots. He's giving us the thou shalls. It's always easier to follow the do it this way instead of the don't do it that way. But that's really what he's saying. Don't be hard. Don't be prickly. Don't be a jerk. You know, let your gentleness be known to all men. And then he tells us why. The Lord is coming. We don't know. You know, many of us speculate. We look at Jewish feast days. But God's not obligated to do anything that we think he ought to do. He could come this afternoon. The Lord is at hand. The Lord is just right at the door. He could come at any time. I know many of you have heard me tell this story before, but right after I got saved, I was visiting my godly grandmother. And I knew she didn't believe, like many of the Pentecostals of the day, of going to movies. That was really one of those cardinal sins of the holiness movement. And so I asked her, because I really didn't see anything wrong with it. I understood, you know, there's different content, but, you know, Disney movies or whatever, you know, whatever. And so I asked Grandma, I said, Grandma, how come you don't believe in going to movies? I was expecting some theological answer, something about sin. She said, well, the Lord may come while I'm in that place. And boy, you know, that just convicted me because she was always expecting the Lord to come at any minute. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. At any minute, the Lord could come. And that should motivate us to holy living. Amen? Paul's telling us this from prison. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at home. Now he's teaching me how to be a good Christian. What else do I need to know, Paul? Thank you for that advice. I'll keep that under advisement. What else do I have to be anxious for nothing? Be anxious for nothing. Don't be anxious. Don't be impatient. Don't worry. Don't fret about things. Be anxious for nothing. Don't let things wound you up. Don't get all wound up about this or that or what am I going to do about this or what did she say about that or what's he going to do over there. Don't even be anxious about it. Don't worry about it. Don't fret about it. Jesus said you can't change one hair of your head. Why worry about it? You can't change how high, how tall you are, how short you are. You can't do any of that. So don't even worry about it. Be anxious for nothing. But then he tells us how to handle it. Aren't you glad that he doesn't just tell you don't be anxious? He tells you what to do with your anxiety. Well, I'm trying to be anxious, but I have this anxiety. I'm worried about my job. I'm worried about this. I'm worried about that. I don't know what's going to happen a week from Tuesday. I'm kind of a little worried about that. What should I do about that, Paul? Prison jailbird Paul teaching me how to be a Christian. What should I do about that? In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. There's that word everything, like always. You know, it's a lifestyle. It's not something I do on Sunday morning. It's not something I do on Tuesday night at prayer. All the time, when I have this issue, when I'm anxious, when I have anxiety about something, God wants me to, in everything, take it to the Lord in prayer. Have you prayed about that? Have you prayed about that? Well, have you prayed about that? Can't you just hear Paul saying that to you? You know, my spiritual daddy, the Apostle Paul, the man who wrote the majority of the New Testament, well, I don't know what I'm going to do. Have you prayed about it? Well, pray about it. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. You know, the first thing we should do when we pray is just thank God. Just enter in with thanksgiving. Just begin to thank Him. You know, there's 1,000 things I could complain about, but if I really take inventory, there's a whole lot of things I can be thankful for. And I could say, well, Lord, you know, I can't pay my bills. Well, praise the Lord, I have a house. You know, I could say this. Well, praise the Lord, I have my health. There's a lot to be thankful for. It could be a lot worse. And in America, in contrast to many of the third world countries, we're like rich billionaires in their eyes. I mean, we have a lot to be thankful for. And so as I have these anxious needs in my life, the first thing I should do in prayer is just begin to thank God. Lord, I thank you for my family. I thank you for my kids. I thank you for my job. I thank you for my health. Thank you for my home. Thank you for my church family. I thank you, Lord, that people love me. I thank you, Lord, for a sound mind. I thank you, Lord, for the peace that passes understanding. I thank you, Lord, that you put songs in my heart. I thank you, Lord, for knowledge. We could go on and on and on and on. We have a lot to be thankful for. And as I begin to focus on what I have, what I don't have seems so much less important. So Paul, through the jail bars, tells me not to be anxious, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, just let my request be made known unto God. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. And so I have to ask. I think it's in the book of Hosea. God tells this backslidden nation, Israel, how to come to him. He says, come to me with words. I love that phrase, because so often we think things, but we do not put them into words. Now, it's true God can read my mind, but he wants to develop a relationship. Can you imagine how my marriage would be if I never spoke to my wife? Not very good. And so it's important that we come to God with words. We bring our words. We articulate how we feel. And you say, well, he knows how I feel. Yeah, but he needs you to say it. Lord, I feel scared right now. Lord, I feel unsure of myself. Lord, I don't feel worthy. And as we begin to articulate our feelings, as we begin to come to God in prayer, as we begin to, with thanksgiving, let my request be made known to God. Lord, I really need your help in this area. Then I find that the process of prayer opens a conduit between heaven and earth. It becomes the Jacob's ladder. It becomes the access from a holy God to a sinful man like me. And then, through that access, I begin to feel the flowing of the Holy Spirit. I can feel it now as I talk about it. As the Holy Spirit just begins to come down and begins to give me those Holy Ghost goosebumps, that warm blanket that wraps around me that says, it's going to be all right, son. It's going to be all right. Just keep hanging on. You're going to be all right. Because I came to God in prayer. Amen. And then he says, when I do that, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, is going to guard my heart and my mind through Christ Jesus. It's the peace that passes understanding. The only way it can be described is the peace that passes understanding, because there is no way I can describe something that's beyond my understanding. And what does that peace do? It becomes the shields. You know, Scotty, raise their shields, right? It becomes the shields. It becomes this guard around me that as the fiery darts are shot from hell to try to discourage me, try to make me quit, try to make me throw in the towel, they deflect off my shields because I have prayed and given it to God. And through that conduit, the Holy Spirit has came down and put the shields of the peace that passes all understanding around me. And they don't even come into me. They just deflect off. Pew, pew. And I say, wow, thank you, Lord. You know, I was anxious, I was fearful. And then I took the jailbird's advice. I just began to pray and give it to God. I came to God with words, and I articulated my fears, my anxious, and my anxiety, and the peace of God began to fill and flood my heart, and they became shields of protection around me. And now everything's going to be all right. And isn't that something that maybe my circumstance didn't change at all? Maybe whatever I was worried about is still hanging out there, but all of a sudden now, I have the peace of God. Praise God. Finally, brethren, now Paul again is telling us how to live a Christian life. Now, we could stop right there. That's some good advice I need to apply. But then he tells us, you know, if you want to keep the peace of God, you know, it really depends on what you do with your thought life. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are a good report, if there's any virtue, there's any praiseworthiness, meditate on these things. Now, again, this is coming from a man who's in jail. Have you ever been wrongly accused? You're tempted to not think good thoughts. You're tempted to muse, to stew, to simmer. And if you're locked in a jail where you can't go out and be distracted by the pretty clouds or TV or radio or whatever it is, you're just in solitary confinement, that's plenty of opportunity for you to really stew. And here is a man who is in jail for only trying to preach the gospel, good news. He has plenty of opportunity to stew, and he's even talked in his epistles about the harm that people have done to him. So he's tempted, like you and I, to feel resentment. And here this man in jail is teaching me to think on these things, to think on lovely things, pure things, noble things. If there be any virtue, there be any praise, think on these things. Let the mind of Christ be in you. Meditate on what's good, not what's bad. You will always have opportunity to rehearse in your mind what someone did, what someone said, what someone did to you. There will always be that person in your life who has offended you, that person who has betrayed you, that person who has wronged you, that person who promised to be this and was that, that person who said that they would do this and they failed you and they disappointed and they let you down. But isn't it time that the church become the church? Isn't it time that Christians started acting like Christians, started walking like Christ, started taking the example of jailbird Paul and begin to have the mind of Christ and begin to think on these things? And you know what? What you think about is what you say. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And you know, James said that no man can control the tongue, but I think we can control the tongue. It starts with what I think. Everybody wants to give you what they think. I think it's going to be all right. You know, when my kids were teenagers at home, I've always tried to have a positive attitude. I don't always succeed. And sometimes there would be some negativity around the dining room table. You know, Kaylee, put your cell phone away. We're having dinner. Eyes rolling. And in the middle of all this negativity, I would say my famous tagline, "This is the happiest day of my life." I think it really irritated them at times. But you know what I think? You know what I think? I think that if they look back now, it would be one of those Apostle Paul prison statements that goes with them. You know? One time I was in, right after Charlie's Chicken reopened their new building, back when I used to eat sweets, they have an ice cream machine there. I'd had my chicken, went up to get me some ice cream. I said, "This is the happiest day of my life." That's my tagline. I like saying that. There was this little 80-year-old woman there, frail. Looked like you could blow on her. She'd have fell over. She said, "What'd you get married today?" I said, "No. Ice cream." You know, sometimes being happy and being joyful And meditating on good things is contagious. There may be somebody over there that needs some wind in their sail. And, you know, if I'm to represent Christ, then I need to spread this stuff. The Bible says Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. He always went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. You know what? I may not go around casting out devils, but there may be a spirit of oppression in someone that just by thinking on good things and letting it come out of my mouth may make a difference in someone's life. It may drive away some oppression. Amen? Think on these things. Think on these things. Meditate on these things. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Think on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Now, I don't know anybody that has the audacity other than the Apostle Paul to say that. But you know what? He had the right to do it. I mean, here's a man who was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was persecuting Jews. He didn't feel like he was called and went to Bible college. He was met by Jesus personally on the road to Damascus. Told him, you're going to suffer many things for me. And he did. So here's a man who has the right to say, if you really want to be spiritual, listen to what I'm saying and do what I'm doing. And he's saying it from jail. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at last your care for me has flourished again through your though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned, here we go, here's this Paul wisdom from jail again, in whatever state I am in, to be content. I have learned in whatever state I'm in to be content. Whether I've got a lot or a little, to be content. Whether I'm free or I'm a jailbird, to be content. Whether I'm in a cold, musty jail in Philippi or I'm out in the center of a big arena preaching Christ, to be content. Whether I've got money or I've got more bills, to be content. Whether I have a house or I'm living on the street, to be content. Whatever state I'm in, I've learned to be content. The Bible says godliness with contentment is great gain. Everybody's looking about how you're going to get grain. I hear, let's invest some money in this stock. We'll get a gain. We'll get a gain here. Let's put it, I heard you do this. You'll get a gain. Godliness with contentment is great gain. You want to experience gain in your life, be godly and be content. The Bible says godliness with contentment is great gain. Paul, through prison bars, said, I've found out the secret. The secret to life is being content. To be content. Now he goes into detail. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned to both to be full and to be hungry, to abound and to suffer need. I got to try this a few times in my life. When we finally moved to Tahlequah, we moved, and I didn't even have a job. I mean, it was a sheer trip of faith. And I'm not that kind of person. I'm more analytical. I try to plan. I don't just do impulsive things. Well, sometimes I do, but, not when it comes to my family and, my finances. But I knew that it was time to do what God had called me to do. And our first Christmas was probably the poorest Christmas I'd ever had. And, presents, that's not really a big deal, but, your kids, they become accustomed to, getting something. They don't always understand. I remember having Kaylee, I had $1 in my wallet, $1. And we went and we had a colored copy of a picture of her made at a copy place. It cost $1. And then we took and melded crayons and sprinkled them around in the shape of a heart and melted them in the microwave and wrapped it up for her to give to her mother. That was her present that year. Dollar. And you know, what I learned from that is you can be content. You can be content. I used to drink a lot of pop. When you don't have money, that's not a necessity. But I'd find pennies and nickels, and we'd go to Walmart. Back in those days, they had Sam's Cola machines for a quarter. No more Pepsi. Can't afford it. Sam's Cola for a quarter. You learn to be content. You learn to be thankful for what you have. And, you know, when we are content and we're thankful, God uses that as stepping stones to take us to the next level. Sometimes those are tests to try us. Are you going to murmur? Are you going to complain? Are you going to find that you can be content with or without? And Paul, who's in a jail, who's teaching me how to be a good Christian, says, I can do it. You can do it. I've had a lot. I've had little to nothing. And whatever state I'm in, I've learned to be content. And the last verse we're going to look at, this was my introduction. My sermon is actually verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm just curious, how many in the last month have had a spiritual struggle? I'm not going to ask you what it is, just show of hands. Pretty much. Myself. We're not talking about someone else. We're talking about ourselves. What I have to do to survive. What I have to do to overcome. What I have to do. Demons in my life, what I am going to do to win. I can. Everybody say, I can. I can. No. Stop. I don't need your help, Connie. I got this. I can. I can. I can. I can. You know what? Sometimes we say, well, I hope I can, or I think I can, or I'm hoping that God will. You know what? This is a statement, a definitive statement of faith. I can. I can do this. I can. Sometimes we need more faith. And we think we have faith until we come up against something that seems bigger than us. We like to read the story of David and Goliath because it increases our faith. We like to read Hebrews chapter 11 because it increases our faith. But you know what? Those two words will increase your faith. I can. I can. I can. The third word, do. What little I remember from English, it wasn't my favorite subject. Do, verb, action, right? I can do this. You know, I can do this. It is an action word. It requires me to not just think about it, but to get up and perform, to get off my bottom and get in the battle, to get in the fight, to get into whatever it is. And maybe there's this thing staring at you out there that you've been afraid of. Maybe it is a wall or a mountain or a giant that seems bigger than you. Maybe you're insecure. Maybe you're unsure of yourself. Maybe you don't have the skills to do what you feel like you need to do, but God in you does. I can do this thing. I can do. Now he just includes it all. All things. All things. Everything. Anything. All things. Whatever it is, I can do it. My brother and I are totally different. He's a hunter and a fisherman, and I'm a computer nerd and a bookworm. We're just totally 100% opposite ends. He was always Mr. Fix-It. I usually break it if I try to fix it. It's just true. I know my limitations. Yeah. And he can do everything. I usually don't feel like I can do anything when it comes to that kind of stuff. But you know what? God has given me an opportunity to pray with him. And so, just because you don't have certain skills does not mean that God isn't going to use you. And everyone's gift is different, but whatever you're called to do, do it. Jesus' mother said, whatever he tells you to do, do it. Amen? A mother's words, ever so true. Whatever he says to you, do it. My brother, I started to say this, I almost forgot. I was like, where am I going with this? Oh, yeah. My brother was a welder. He never graduated high school. I think he eventually got his GED. And he worked back in the day for Fram, and he would weld these big pipes, and he would come home just covered in black soot, you know. And that was what people with little to no education were qualified to do, and he was taking care of his family. I'm not saying that to embarrass him. But they were hiring welders at American Airlines. And he went for the interview. Now, at American Airlines, it's a totally different kind of welding. I mean, they got machines that you can weld aluminum foil with. I mean, tens of thousand-dollar machines that require some knowledge on how to operate these things. They're not just an old arc welder. And he went for the interview, and the guy said, well, you know, have you ever used one of these machines? My brother said, yes. Well, can you do this? Well, yes. Well, do you know how to weld one of these? He said, yes. Said, all right, well, we've been looking for you. He got hired. He said to one of the guys, now tell me how you do this thing again. That's where my brother talks. We are totally opposite. He retired from American Airlines, making big money, welding, because he said, I can do all of that. Fake it till you make it. I can do all things through Christ. Now, of course, the source of my I can do all things is Christ. People talk about high self-esteem and low self-esteem. Christians need to have Christ esteem. I can't do anything of myself, but I don't have low self-esteem. I have Christ esteem, because in Christ I can do all things. He's the wind beneath my wings. He's my strength. He's my joy. He's my peace. He's my all in all. He called me. He's going to equip me. If he said it, he'll do it. If he spoke it, he'll bring it to pass. One will send 1,000 to flight, 2 10,000. Many will fall at my side. It'll not come nigh to me. Who are you, you uncircumcised Philistine, that you should defy the armies of the living God? Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Lying devil. Should have killed me when he had me, but it's too late now. Told you I was just getting started. That hot dog's going to keep. We'll be done about 5 o'clock. No, I'm teasing. We're almost done. I can do all things through Christ. Jesus has to be our source. Amen? He has to be. Without him, I'm nothing. Everything that I have, he bought at the cross. I can't boast in myself. I boast in the Lord. I boast in the Lord. In him I live and move and have my being. So I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Who strengthens me. You have to understand that in order to be strengthened, you have to recognize you're weak. I am weak. I know my weaknesses. I know my frailties. I know my blind spots. The devil knows them. I should know them. He's a specialist at attacking where I'm my weakest. And if you don't know your own weaknesses, you're in a heap of trouble, let me tell you. You need to know where you're weakest at. You need to know what your weaknesses are. I know one thing. I don't like to be alone. I'll just be honest with you. I remember when I told my boss I was going to get married again. He goes, some people just can't be alone. Hit me on the head. Now server number 27. No, just kidding. Here. Even made my wife laugh. She's not 27. She's the last, I'll tell you that. Hallelujah. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I know where I'm weakest. But you know what? When I'm weak, then am I strong. For his grace is sufficient for me. My strength is through God's grace. His unmerited, unwarranted favor. I don't deserve it. I ought not to have it. I shouldn't get it. I say I won't do something. I sin again. I make a fool of myself again. I fall short of the glory of God. And I don't deserve his grace, but he gives it to me anyway because it's grace. And when he gives me the grace, then it strengthens me. It strengthens me. I am strengthened by the grace of God. That's why it's so amazing. That's why they wrote the song, Amazing Grace, because it's so amazing that God would love a sinner such as I. How wonderful is love like that? It's amazing. And so, as I begin to close today, come on up, Nola. Here we are in this Philippi jail. It's visiting hours. And the man who wrote the majority of the New Testament is teaching me how to be a Christian, how to walk with God. And he's ending our conversation today with this one statement that he's wanting me to take out of there. If I remember nothing else, Paul's saying, if you remember nothing else from today, I know you got to leave. Take this with you. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let's all stand. Every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around. Maybe you're here this morning and there's a wall out there. There's a mountain that's bigger than you. There's this thing that you feel insecure about, unsure of yourself. You'd like to be more assertive. You'd like to be like someone else, but you can't. That's not you. You know your weaknesses. You know your frailties. You know what you can't do, but you also know there is a God that dwelleth in the heavens who is greater than your weakness, who's greater than your insecurity, who's greater than your fear. And he's asked you to say something, some affirmative statement that's bigger than you. The statement is, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And if you're here this morning, and that's you, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand or come down front or do anything embarrassing. I am going to ask you to have a quick conversation with the God that made you. Come to grips with the God who formed you in your mother's womb. And recognize that you can't do this on your own. That you need the Lord. You need the Lord. Maybe you've tried to do it on your own before and you failed. Maybe you tried to do it and you made a mess of things. And now you're at the place where I recognize that I don't have what it takes. I've been visiting this old guy in jail this morning. And he's made some sense. What he had to say really made a lot of sense. And so God, this morning as I come to you, just as I am, I need your help. I believe, Jesus, that you have the power to strengthen my weakness. I believe you have the power to give me the confidence I need to face this mountain in my life. I want to be able to say with Brother Roger and with the people around me, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I want you to change me. Take my weakness and make it strong. Take my fear and turn it into bravery. Take my insecurity and help me to be confident again. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's my prayer this morning, Lord. And I don't want to leave here until I know that these are more than words, that you can change me from the inside out. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You got a song for us, Nola? Huh? You don't? Yeah, let's do Amazing Grace. How sweet, like me, I once was lost, but now was blind, but all right. Thank you guys for coming. God bless you. Have a great week. We will see you hopefully.